I wonder what we're going to go through this week that the Lord doesn't know about. I wonder if there's anything that we're doing this week that he doesn't know what we're going to do. I wonder if there's something that's going to take him by surprise this week. Or is it that everything is under control and he's got his hand on everything, doesn't he? So no matter what we go through this week, God's already preceded us there. Amen? Amen. We are now in the third part of a one-part sermon. But I think it's a sermon that our church not only needs to hear, we need to practice this. And I think not only does our church need it, but individually each of us need what God has given us over the past couple of weeks. A disciple is, especially if you've been here on Wednesday evening, a disciple is a follower of Christ and a teacher. So a disciple is a follower, but also is to be a teacher. So what is the only excuse that we have for not sharing the gospel to someone? The only possible excuse that we would have not to share Jesus with somebody is everybody in the entire world saved. Then the preaching or the witnessing or the trying to lead someone to become a disciple, the teacher part, that's the only excuse that we would have, is that everybody's saved. So the obvious question would be, is everyone in the world saved? No. So that means that we got work to do. We have spent now two Sundays on Apostle Paul and his very easy plan of how we're to share the gospel. And I think he just lays it out there so simple, I'm not sure how we can miss it. We made our way to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll make our way to the 19th verse and pick up right where we have been for a couple weeks. In my thinking, Paul is not only an awesome believer and an awesome disciple and an awesome apostle, but I think Paul is awesome. I think Paul has been given the words of God, and as God is giving these words to Paul, I think he puts it down on paper like, do you realize the depth of the message that he has just given? And I think we find that through all of Paul's writings. I think you could just write a book on every verse that he has now taken from God and just put it on paper. This passage is no different. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Now think about, try just to comprehend the message that Paul is giving. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. That sounds like one of them tongue twister ones. Verse 21, to those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. What depth God is reaching us. Lord, we come this morning. Lord, clean out our ears. Lord, would you remove anything that would block your word from coming to us? Lord, take the garbage out of our ears. Open up our hearts. Lord, affect our minds. Transform and change our minds. That what we're hearing from you, our mind says, you just got to do this. Lord, take away the distractions that come to us. Lord, would you prepare and ready us? Verse 19 is sort of the introduction that Paul is giving us. And Paul has the ability just to affect people. I mean, I think Paul had the ability to walk into a town and people knew who was coming in, and I think they knew who he was bringing when he was coming in. Paul had this ability to affect people. And he now gives us a little insight on how to do that. And throughout this passage of Scripture, there's sort of one phrase or one thought that sort of filters its way through all of these verses. Can you tell me what that thought is? Okay. But I see something even deeper than that. And that's the, we're going to go there, but I want to win some. All throughout this passage of Scripture, one thing is on Paul's mind. He's just got one thing that he's aiming at. It's, I got to win some. We think we're doing fantastic if we win one. Paul is concerned about some. And so that I win more. It seems what drives Paul is getting people to the Lord. Now he does that in a very interesting way. He does it just like we're supposed to be doing it. He affects relationships. That's where Paul is headed. He says, for though I am free from all men, and he was, wasn't he? He was a Roman citizen, so he's free. He is a disciple, a believer of Jesus Christ. Does that make him free? It makes him free from sin and a slave to Christ. He says, I'm free. I am a free person. But then he volunteers to do something. I will become a slave to all men. By the way, so Paul changes himself. He's got this in his mind of, I'm free. No one tells me what to do, where to go. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm free physically and I'm free spiritually. Except I choose now in my freedom to become a slave. And by the way, that meaning throughout that is bondservant. Because I said last week, I don't have that, but check it. And it was checked. A bondservant. How do you become a bondservant? Huh? Yeah, but what do you have to do? I'm willing to. I love you so much, I'll do this. I'm giving myself to you. And that's what Paul is aiming at here. So he has given his freedom away to become a slave for just one purpose. I got to win people for the Lord. And then Paul tells us how to do it. Verse 20, Paul starts to address three individual groups of people. And we fall into and we will meet everyone that we run into will fall into one of those three categories. So it's not a matter of, okay, well, I wasn't in the presence of anyone today that needed saved. And I wonder how that works in our lives too, by the way. Because once we leave here, or maybe even here, we're running into people who... Paul runs into three groups. Look at verse 20. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. Tremendous book. A series, maybe. But Paul is, now he's starting with one particular group of people. I wonder why he started with them. Why would he bring them up first? I mean, Paul is not only a Roman citizen, Paul is a Jew. Now, we all know that Paul was sent to the Gentiles, but he always had this in his mind, and especially his heart, was his own people. He is now showing us how to save some. How do you save some? You form a relationship with someone. And here's the key with this relationship, and we're going to be going a lot on this. Paul formed a relationship with one intent in mind. He formed relationships for the purpose of leading people to Jesus. And if it worked for Paul, it'll work for us. If we form relationships with the intent of leading that person to Jesus, those are the relationships we need involved with. Paul did it. But he formed a relationship first. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. What's his purpose in becoming in relationship with the Jews? To win them to Christ. So these are Old Testament Jews. These are Jews who may have heard of Jesus, no doubt have heard of Jesus, but have chosen not to follow or not to accept Jesus. These are Judaism Jews. Now Paul forms a relationship with them for just one purpose. I want to get you saved. Now look at what he says. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to these Jews so that I may win some of these Jews. So verse 20, to the Jews, he's now addressing this group. I became like a Jew or as a Jew. Notice Paul has separated himself from this group of people. He may consider himself a Jew, but he's not that kind of Jew. He's not that Old Testament Jew. He's not that Jew that hasn't given their life to the Lord yet. Notice, to the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. So what's that tell us? Paul becomes to the Jews as a Jew. For what purpose? To save them. Then he goes on, he says, to those under the law. Now, who's under the law? This is an easy one. The Jews are under the law. Why are they under the law? Wow, that was great. They're under the law because God gave them the law. His chosen people, and God loves them enough that he gives them the law. So, Paul becomes as a Jew, to those who are under the law, as under the law. So what's Paul saying? I'm becoming as a Jew, as living under the law. And he's forming a relationship now with these Jews strictly by that avenue. This is how I'm going to affect them. Though not being myself under the law. What has Paul just done? What? He committed himself, but to what? What's his ultimate commitment there? Is I'm committed to Jesus. Jesus, I'm committed to him. I will become as a Jew, as under the law, but I'm committed to Jesus Christ. So Paul is telling us how now to form a relationship. As a Jew, as under the law, but my commitment is to Jesus Christ. Above and beyond anything, my commitment is to Jesus. Paul now addresses this group of people, and he starts to form relationships with them as a Jew, as under the law. I wonder how long it was before Paul decides, okay, now we're good enough buddies. Now let me tell you about Jesus. I wonder how long it took him to do that. I don't know. But I got a feeling that his message went something like this. You people who are under the law, let me address that. Jesus himself said, I've not come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill it. You're living under the law. Your law was given to the Jews. You're living under the law, and you're living under the law very well. But that's the law. Let me introduce you to grace, and his name is Jesus. He came to complete what you're so vested in. You're holding this law up so high. Let me tell you about the perfection of that law. His name is Jesus. You see, Paul came to the Jews as a Jew and as under the law and presented them with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, why don't you trade the law for grace? Now, Paul works within this confines of as a Jew, as under the law, and he does it like this. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Remember, his intent is, I'm going to win some of these Jews to Jesus. So I will become as a Jew, as under the law. Now let's see how he does that. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Do you ever think about this? Timothy was not 8 days old. Timothy, no doubt at this point, was at least a young man. And Paul now says, Timothy, buddy, you need to come with me. Join me in ministry. And by the way, there's going to be a little catch. There's going to be just a little bit of pain with you coming to me. We got to get you circumcised. Why? There were Jews there. And Jews are circumcision people. And you're not. So let's get you circumcised. Yeah, Paul agrees to this. Now, to the Jew, I'll become as a Jew. Under the law, as under the law. Timothy, we need to get you circumcised. And I find Timothy to be an awesome individual. Why? He let it happen. Paul is addressing the Jew, and he now addresses them as a Jew, as under the law. Let's do one more. Acts chapter 3. Now you know by the time that we make our way to Acts chapter 3, we're not dealing with Paul, correct? Matter of fact, what has just happened in Acts chapter 2? Okay, Pentecost, the church, the awesome sermons, it's thousands are getting saved. So we know Paul is not affected. Paul's not here yet. But we do see something, a practice here. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Well, that's phenomenal. Guess what? They were going to church. But they were going to the temple. And they were going at a set time to pray there, which was the custom and the law of the Jews. Was Peter saved at this point? Peter's saved. Is John saved? What day were they meeting? What day did they have church? When? Not yet. I mean, that's done. When are they having church?
Sunday.
On the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. But notice what Peter and John are doing. They're going up to the temple to pray at just the right time. Paul had this, unique way of getting to the Jewish people. He would go into a town, and there he would go where? He would go to the synagogue. Why? Why would you go to the synagogue? If you're a Christian, you have just been converted, this miraculous conversion, why would you go to the synagogue? Who's at the synagogue? Jews are at the synagogue. What kind of Jews? The old Jews. They're not saved. They're under the law. But notice where Paul goes when he goes into town. He goes to the synagogue. Why? To the Jew? As a Jew. Under the law? As under the law. You know, when they got saved, they didn't put away absolutely. It's not that they turned 180 degrees ago. Can't go to synagogue no more. We can't even go pray there anymore. It's a great place to meet. Why did Paul submit to these minor laws? And they were that Timothy got circumcised. We know that Peter and John made their way to the temple. Paul goes to the synagogue when he's preaching. Why? To save some of the Jews. If you're going to get someone saved, to the Jews, as a Jew, to those under the law, as one under the law. But notice, Paul makes this statement, and it's to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. So Paul has committed himself to some of these minor laws that the Jews are under the law. But there's one thing that's in the back of Paul's mind in reference to all these little laws is I have one law that's on my heart, and it is the law of Christ. It rules in every decision that I make. Go on to the synagogue, that's okay. There's Jews. Getting Timothy circumcised, there's Jews who are here. So he submitted to those minor laws, but he always kept Jesus Christ first. Verse 21, we meet the second group. To those who are without law. What group is that? The Gentiles. How many here are Gentiles? Let's do it. How many of you here are Jews? See, now we're getting somewhere. How many now are Gentiles? Paul is now addressing Gentiles. Matter of fact, Paul addressed an awful lot of Gentiles. I mean, Jerusalem is fine, but Paul, you need to go and you need to go. Go to the Gentiles. Verse 21, to those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. These people that Paul, the second group Paul addresses on getting saved are these Gentiles. Why is it that Paul seemed to comply with all these minor issues? With the Jews, the minor things. With the Gentiles, the minor things. Why is he so concerned about, okay, well, I can do that. There's really not much of a problem there. Or with the Jews, they don't have the law, and I'll be with them as without the law. But by the way, I fall under one great law, and the only law I live by is the law of Christ. Why would Paul put himself under submission of some of these minor laws? Fit in. To make friends. To make relationships. To ultimately win some to Jesus Christ. And we see throughout all of Paul's dealings with these Gentiles, he's willing to do some things, but he stops when it comes to, well, I can't transgress or transgress the law of Christ. But I can. These minor things, they're minor. You, under the law, as under the law. To those who are without the law, as one without the law. So he's addressed two groups, and we see that he forms a relationship with them with just one purpose in mind. It seems like in the church we have great opinions. Matter of fact, I think there's books in the Bible, first and second. You'll get it later on. Sunday school class, you can talk about it. We seem to have an opinion of Paul. I don't know whether it's the way we were fetched up or just how we look at Paul. Fetched up. You can talk about that in Sunday school class too. It's like, oh, what kind of man was that? I mean, look at this. He didn't like women. He didn't. Or we look at Paul and go, what kind of love did this man? Paul addresses these people and he just got one thing on his mind. It's, I got to get them saved. Do you suppose Paul loved people? He had to love people or he wouldn't care about getting somebody saved. Do you suppose he loves the Jews? Oh, he loved the Jews. Why? How do you know he loved the Jews? Because he wanted to get them saved. Did Paul love Gentiles? He loved Gentiles. How do you know? You got to get them saved. He addresses one more group that's an interesting group, and I'll give you my thoughts. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may be by all means save some. Now there is a difference now in this group versus the other two groups. Did you catch it? There's one difference with this group. And I'm going to tell you who I think this group is, because it's not Jews and it's not Gentiles. And if it's not Jew and not a Gentile, they ain't human, right? I mean, there's no third category. Either you're a Jew or a Gentile, right? So he's already addressed those two groups. But there's a difference between Paul and the Jews, and Paul and the Gentiles, and Paul and the weak. Did you notice what it is? It's just one tiny little word. We may miss it because it's so tiny. It's just one tiny little word. It's repeated twice. As. Notice, he says, to the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win some Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, to the Gentiles, without the law, as I'm going to come to them as without the law. But notice what he does with these weak ones. To the weak, I became weak. It doesn't say, to the weak, I became as weak. He doesn't say that. He says, to the weak, I became these weak. I think these are ones who have now not made the decision to follow Jesus yet, whether they be Jew or whether they be Gentile, because those are the only two groups. He's now addressing a particular group of people that is not named. It's these weak ones. Who could be these weak ones? I see these as those who are now being drawn to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has stepped in and started to work upon their heart, and these are now new ones. These are pre-Christians. And Paul has done his job, and he's got a hold of these weak people. They're ready now to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And his desire is, I want to become fellow partakers. So it's like this group is not there yet, but is getting so close. Paul says, I have to win some, and I get to participate with them. So I think these are ones who are now being drawn by his ministry, Jew or Gentile. Paul is saying, come on. Just take one more step. That's all that, in this relationship, that's all that's needed is just one more. Paul says, to the weak, I became weak. How many think that Paul didn't have any problems giving his opinion? It's like in every situation, Paul steps up and says, this is the way it is. This is this way. He turns around and says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. Paul is a very vibrant extrovert. It's like sometimes he's almost over the edge. I see Paul becoming weak. I see Paul backing away from his boldness, of his assertion of the power that he possessed. I see him backing away just a little bit for these weak people. Why? To win some. These people are coming, wanting to come and know the Lord. Paul had this ability, it seems, at times just to bash people. I mean, he always did it in a really nice way. But it was like, okay, now to these weak ones. Notice he doesn't say that to this group of Jews or this Gentiles. He says it to this group over here that's weak. I became weak. And it's almost like Paul has now backed away a little bit to not become overly assertive or not to come at them and keep coming at them. It's like, okay, come on, let's take this other step. It's like Paul has now become weak. He has put, and we don't do this. As Christians for 35 years, we never come at someone in arrogance or in pride. We shouldn't. But in the church, we have become very comfortable in the church. And we have become very comfortable in expressing our opinions and our thoughts within the church. What happens if there is a weak one who comes in? Oh, wow. Yeah, could scare him. And it looks like Paul has backed away a little bit. Said, I won't say pride, and I won't say, but Paul was very forceful. And it's almost like he backs away. He's not coming to these Christians, these weak ones, as a superior Christian. I'm on the board here, so anything that involves you, that involves me, because I'm on the board. I've been a Christian 35 years, and I've been through an awful lot, and God has been good, and I know that you've only been saved a week, so if you've got any questions, you can come see me. Away. Paul backs up a step. Paul addresses them an awful lot in his writings. But Paul mentions this idea of a stumbling block. Paul has already said in this passage, I'm free. I'm free physically, I'm free spiritually, but I will become a slave so that I can win some. To the weak, I became weak. What happens if you put a stumbling block in front of a weak person? You know, you're back to, well, here's food that was sacrificed to an idol. I can eat that. Just don't be a stumbling block. See, to the weak, I think Paul stepped back and said, I'm not going to become a stumbling block. What's a stumbling block? It's anything that we put in front of someone that they have to get over before they can come to the Lord. Or if they are saved, we put a barrier there so that they can't proceed to the Lord. And it got some awful funny names. Alcohol can be a stumbling block. Food. I know, not here, but food can be a stumbling block. Our leisure time can be a stumbling block. And Paul says, I'm going to win some. And I'll become as a Jew and I'll become as a Gentile, but I will not become a stumbling block. I will not supersede. I will not go past this law of Christ. I'll become all things to all men, but I will not deny Jesus Christ. I will deny myself. So Paul now addresses these three groups, to the Jews as a Jew, to the Gentiles as a Gentile, to the weak, I'll become that way. I have become all things to all men so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. What's Paul's intent? Is I got to get them saved. Why? They're going to come to know Jesus. Do you remember when you came to know Jesus? Do you remember that first minute? You could fly. And Paul says, I want that again. I want to share that with them. Have you ever led anybody to Jesus Christ? I mean, they're flying. They are beside themselves as what just happened to them. But what's going on in your heart? Oh, I may not be flying, but I'm stepping pretty light right now. Why? Because you're getting to share this all over again with them. Paul says, let me experience it. I want to be a partaker with that. But I think Paul is wanting to become a partaker on two different levels. I think there's a song by Ray Bolts, and I know he's had his issues, but the guy was blessed by God to come up with these songs. And it's Thank You, Lord. You remember that one? Yeah. A Sunday school teacher, someone in the church or choir, I forget all of it, but the Sunday school teacher is the one I remember. And the Sunday school teacher, now they now find themselves in the heavenlies. And now here comes someone, and this, and you don't know, you may not remember me. You may not know why I'm here, except you were my Sunday school teacher. That Sunday school teacher becomes a partaker in the eternal, because I was willing to risk myself, to put myself out there in a former relationship, and now love this individual. They came to know the Lord, and he's calling me out. It was because of you, your Sunday school teacher. So Paul is saying, let that be me. When the eternal comes, let people come up and say, Paul, it was because of your preaching that I know the Lord. He wants that. He wants to share that with them. I mean, they're in heaven. You can't get any better than that. But I don't think Paul is settled with just the eternal. I think Paul is also fixed on the temporal. You're saved. Praise God. Fellowship. And when you need someone to cry to me. And when you need someone for understanding or care or compassion or mercy or grace, come to me. Because you're saved and we're brothers now. So when we win some, we get to partake with them. There will be coming a day when in heaven they're going to come up to you. Paul shows us how to lead people to Jesus Christ. It's very simple. You form a relationship with them for just one purpose. Got to get you saved. God is calling us to be disciples. And a disciple is a follower. If he's calling you to be a disciple, he's calling you to become. But he's also calling you to. I'm kind of an odd duck. You know that by now, but I think maybe different than most everybody thinks. But believers will appear at a judgment, correct? What judgment? The mercy seat of Christ. So all Christians will be judged before, praise God, the mercy seat. To get to that judgment seat. If it was that I have to get somebody saved before, because as a disciple, you really don't have an option, for you could enter heaven. Because the one thing we don't like to do is, but if that was how we got into heaven. So how can we now take what Paul has taught us and apply it? Number one. You might want to write these down because there'll be a little bit of a challenge at the end. And that's always the way we say it. What can I do? Well, what you can do is pray. And it's like we have now put prayer as our last resort. It's like if all else fails, now pray about it. Someone is sick. Well, let me just pray for you. Well, why would you just pray for me? I want you to pray for me. It should be the first avenue that we use, not the last resort. So the first thing, the first privilege that comes to us in leading someone to Jesus is pray. Okay, now, what do we pray? First of all, we can pray for missionaries. Why? Why pray for a missionary? Because the church is the sender and the missionary is the goer. They're going to go. So they're going to go into the field for just one purpose. What's your purpose of going to Lebanon? I mean, is it because it's pretty good weather there most of the time? The beaches. So you're going to Lebanon for the beaches. No, what's your purpose? You're because you love people and you want to get them saved. Not one, but some. So how can you pray for a missionary? We discussed that Wednesday night. And there's 100 of them, and you guys need all of them. Well, all missionaries need prayer. Pray for the marriage. Pray for the group that they're going to be with. Pray that when the opportunity comes, they step in and say, Lord, you got us here. We're taking this step. Pray for the one that is now their hearts being softened by the Holy Spirit. So there's lots of ways you can pray for a missionary, but they're going. So we need to lift them up. So they're going to Lebanon, but where are you going? You're going to work, to camp, to music store, to work, to school people. You're going, aren't you? So in reality, you are goers. And a goer goes. So what you're praying for missionaries, you can pray for yourself. And you can pray for each other. When was the last time you prayed this in the morning? Lord, I want you to place someone in my path today that I could share you with them. How many have ever prayed that? Now you don't have to answer me, but you can smile. Did he do it? So pray for yourselves. Pray for others in the church. How about praying for the one who is to go before you and soften their heart? Jesus, thank you for being Jesus. Father, thank you for being the Father. But you see, there's this other person. He's got a tremendous job. Secondly, invest in evangelism ministries. We have a few of those here. Sure thing. Have you ever lifted up or supported the evangelism committee? Yes, you have. Most of you sitting here, you have done that. What about missions? The missions committee. Can we pray for them, support them? They have specific jobs here and outside of the church. So pray for them. Here's our missionaries. And I pray I didn't forget any. If I did, you can yell it out. Greg and Megan. Matter of fact, tonight will be a special night. I'm looking forward to it. Dane and Allie. Brenda Lang. John Okinda. Ian and Marilyn. They touched the hearts of some here. Alex. Pray. Support them, not just with prayer. Make it that you're praying for them first, and then they also need lots of support. They still need it. Number three, purpose your relationships. Develop a relationship for one purpose in mind, to lead someone to the Lord. Now, you're going to find this kind of odd, but if you're going to lead someone to the Lord and get them saved, they have to be, and actually, you're actually going to have to go out and make friends with an unbeliever. You see, we like the people in our church. We like to call, and we like to eat, and we like to fellowship together. Let's rephrase that, a pre-Christian, because you're going to have to spend time and effort in the coffee shop playing video games. If you need to know that story, talk to Greg. Fourthly, and I would like you to do this, and I would like you to take on this. You see, Paul says you get people saved, you make a relationship with them for the purpose of leading them to Jesus. So my challenge is this. In your Sunday school class, would you please set 5 minutes aside before you get into the depths of Scripture? Would in your Sunday school class you nominate one person? In that one person, just have them, they can sit down, stand up, but share who they are. That cannot be difficult because you all like to share who you are. Your likes, your dislikes, what you eat, what you don't eat, this and that. Where I go to work, where I go golfing, or you share. You share your life with them, and then sit down. And then the rest of the class, you have a challenge. With any aspect of their life, how can I communicate with them? So if they're a golfer and they say something about golfing, I like to golf. A time when we both could be on the golf course at the same time. You see, just in someone sharing their life, you can pick something out and you can run with it. Let me give you an example. On a mission trip in 2004, not with this church, but you're going to find this kind of funny. God is God, and he can be God in one church and God in another church all at the same time. Yeah, we were on a mission trip with another church, and I had on my, it was a home repair trip like we do now, and I had this young man, I think he was a freshman, don't hold me to that, but you gotta understand this was a young man. And we were working at this lady's house, and she was not saved, and her house was a mess. And we spent the entire week there, and on Thursday evening, we had one, Friday would be our last day there. And he comes up, and he's just beside himself. He says, Doug, he says, and I'm thinking, first of all, how awesome is that? That this freshman boy would want to, and I said, well, we'll go in and we'll talk with her tomorrow. We made an agreement. We were going to talk with this lady. So Friday came and we had an opportunity now to go in and sit with her. And I can't even remember her name, but I could still see her face. And we sat down there, him and I on the couch, and she was in the chair for painting and dusting and sweeping her house, for working in her bathroom, for picking up garbage. She was beside herself that we would do that. Relationship of us helping her house, helping her in her house, she just opened up conversation. And that just did that to me. I think we have definitely helped you with your earth, another dwelling place for you. It wasn't much. She runs up to this freshman that's not a freshman. And we can all do that. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Impress upon us, Jesus, the necessity and the urgency, the time that we are in right now. Lord, as we look around this world, it can't be much longer before you come back. Lord, we all know people. We all interact with people that are not saved. And Lord, if that day was today, they would perish forever. Lord, we desire you to come back. But we got to be busy. Give us the courage and the strength. Lord, let us just rest in you. Confident that you've already gone ahead. All we're doing is the vessel that you've asked us to be. Lord, we love you.